Well, good morning and greetings in Jesus' name this morning to each one. it was good to be here this morning already. To hear of the mysteries, some of those mysteries of God, and maybe a little bit what I have to share might be a mystery to some, but I don't think it is probably to us here. But the mystery, maybe the way down is the way up, and to the world and to the worldly mind, that is a mystery that makes absolutely no sense at all. The way down is the way up. And that's what I'd like to share a little bit on here this morning. And this is for me, not necessarily for you all. It's something I don't know that it's necessarily a, I just feel, I guess, from my own heart that it's something I need to hear, and it's real life for me, and I believe it is for all of us. But I guess around us, the world around us, and evangelical world, the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel, you know, is very, very much lifted up and is out there. And you won't have to go very far around us to hear that. If God is with us, Trump will be elected. Maybe our minds could go that way, but how do we know that that's God's will, that Trump would be elected? Things will go our way. If God is with us, things will go our way. And why do I have this illness? There's just a lot of things we don't understand why these things happen, or why do we have setbacks? It could be in financial setbacks. Why is God not with me? Why these relationship problems? These are just, I believe, real things we all face. We all have to deal with. But God said to Paul, he said, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." So this was Paul. I believe Paul could relate to this also. It's not by everything going right that we prosper. It's not by everything going right that we prosper. It's how we respond to difficulties. That is how we prosper. And the hard things, how we respond to them. In the way of the cross. And that's, you could turn to Hebrews chapter 5. And I'm going to take my text from there and just look. I like to look at the way Jesus responded, and I want to lift up the Lord Jesus here this morning. He is our example, and in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8. says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. So did Christ, I guess the question here is, did Christ have to learn obedience? As I read over this past week, this phrase stood out to me, and that's got my mind to thinking about these things. So it says here in verse 8 of chapter 5 that the Son, Jesus, learned, he says, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And that obedience there in the Strong's would say attentive hearkening or compliance or submission, obedience. That's what he learned, compliance or attentive hearkening by the things which he suffered. So, yeah, did Christ have to learn obedience? I guess that was a question I had, and I don't know. I hope this maybe can generate some discussion afterward. Was Christ disobedient? I mean, if he had to learn obedience, was he disobedient? And why did Christ have to suffer to learn? Why did Christ have to suffer to learn? It says he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And these are just some thoughts here. I don't know if I have this all together, but just a few thoughts of mine. So Philippians 2, verse 8 says, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Here he gave himself. He attentively hearkened, I guess you could say, unto death. He allowed himself. He humbled himself, here it says, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And I believe what I gather from this is that, you know, how would we have known, how do we know that Christ was obedient? You know, God could have said he's obedient, he's perfect, right? And he was. He was all of those. But we see those things by the things he went through, by the things he suffered. And I guess that is the thought here this morning, is through the things that we go through, the difficulties, the hard times, is really where we will know whether we are obedient like Christ was to the things that he suffered, is the things we go through. So he says he gave himself even to the death on the cross. There, verse 9 of Hebrews also brings out that says, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. And here it again gives the indication that he was being made perfect, as if he wasn't perfect before. But I believe he was perfect before, but we can see his perfection by the things that he went through. It says, being made perfect. The things that Christ suffered made him perfect. And although he was perfect to begin with. back in chapter 2 of Hebrews, verse 10, it says, "For it became him for whom all are all things, and by whom all are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering." So here Christ, Christ Jesus, he had all things, you know, all things were by him and through him. This was our Lord and Savior. He was our, he is our captain of our salvation. He was made perfect through suffering. And, you know, who are we to think that we can, to go through life without just ease and prosperity, and things ought to just all go right for me, you know. Who are we when Christ, our Lord, he suffered, he gave. This was his life. Matthew 5:48 says, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." Christ was perfect from the beginning. We can see the things he suffered, and the perfection came forth from his life. Being perfect means to complete or accomplish, to finish. He was made perfect. Till we all, this is Ephesians 4:13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. This is a high calling for each one of us. Till we all come, it says, in the unity of the faith and knowledge of the Son of God, a perfect man. We're called to this same perfection, this same perfectness in Christ. It says, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. It's a very high calling. These are beyond the flesh. Our flesh, we cannot just pick ourselves up by our bootstraps and do these things. It is only with the Lord's help. Does not the true test come in walking through hard things? Jesus, let's go to Luke, I guess. Just look at Jesus' example here. Luke chapter 2. And just thinking of Jesus' life here, this is God in the flesh. Luke chapter 2, verse, let's see here. Let's see, 151, but let's just go back. This is when he was just a lad. It says maybe 41. We'll start reading Luke 2:41 now. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintances. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, "Son, why hast thou dealt with us thus dealt with us. Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. So here was Jesus, the Son of God. He, just as a lad, you know, he says, how is it that you have sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? You know, he could have sat there and reasoned for hours with his parents and tried to get them to understand. But we don't read of that. It says he made this comment, this statement to them. But then it says in 51, he went down with them to Nazareth and was subject unto them. And we don't hear anything more until his ministry began, until his 30s. So Jesus learned. He learned obedience by this of giving himself, of going back down there with his parents and being subject unto them. What an example. What an example for us. And then in Luke 4 there, 24, again, this was after he begun his ministry. He says, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. So Jesus here, there was difficult things in his life too. There was rejection that he faced. There was times that, you know, he, just like he said here, no prophet is accepted in his own country. And they all knew where he came from. I mean, everybody knew here's Joseph and Mary, you know, and then Mary was found of a child. We're not blind. You know, we know how these things. You can just imagine what people, how the talk would have went back there in that town when all this had come out. And I believe that's why this is here. Is just, you know, the folks knew Jesus. They knew where he lived. They knew his parents. They had a difficult time to hear him. But yet he was faithful. Jesus was faithful. He always responded rightly. And I don't always respond rightly. You know, I just don't always get it right. And we want to strive for that. But we need the Lord's help. He's our example here. And he gave the ultimate test there in Matthew 26. And let's just read that, where he gave his life. You know, this is really where the rubber gets down on the road, you know, real hard, is to lay down one's life. Maybe we'll start reading in chapter 26, start in 36. It says, then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And they took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. And he saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And maybe we'll just stop there. And here we see verse 41, it says, He said, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And I believe it's just the intense struggle we can see here that Jesus was having. You know, I believe he had desires to live just like we do, you know. He didn't want to. He wasn't just looking forward to this whole event, to being his, you know, dying. But you know, he was the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. I just believe we see the intense struggle there that our Lord Jesus went through. And you know, I don't think probably none of us have went through that intense of a struggle as Jesus did. So Lord help us to be able to allow the Spirit to guide us through difficult times. Maybe we'll go on here, 44, and he says, He left them and went again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. So he asked the Father that this cup, you know, could pass from him if it would be possible. But then he left it into the Father's hand. Then cometh he to the disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. Let's see. We know how this goes. We'll read it. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, the same as he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them, which were with Jesus, stretched out his hand, drew his sword, and struck the servant of the high priest, and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword into its place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be? In that same hour, said Jesus to the multitude, Are ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves? For to take me, I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and ye laid no hand on me. But all this was done, that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. So we see here God's plan for the Lord Jesus and how that the Son entered into that plan with the Father. And that's a call for us today. We're called His sons and His daughters, right? He has a plan. He has a work for each one of us to do, and he would desire us to enter into that. And it's by the way of the cross, by the way of the cross. Here it says, then all the disciples forsook him and fled, and there he was all by himself. And, you know, Jesus knew what it meant to be forsaken. You know, just be left all alone right there with that mob. He knows how that feels. He can identify with us in all of our struggles, all of our difficulties. Chapter 27, 45. This is now Jesus, the crucifixion here, and he's on the cross. Now it says, that the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, my God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, this man calleth for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took his sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. And the rest said, let be, let us see whether Elias will come to save him. And Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. This is our Lord. This is the Son of God. He gave his life. He gave the very breath and life that he had for each one of us. The way of the cross. I'll read just a paragraph or two out of this, the Calvary Road. It's talking about the Lord. The Lord Jesus being the shorn lamb as a lamb, willing to be shorn of his rights, his reputation, every human liberty that was due to him, just as a lamb is shorn of its wool. When he was reviled for our sakes, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. He never said, you cannot treat me that way. Don't you know that I am the Son of God? Then further, he was a silent lamb, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Facing the calamities of men, we read, he gave no answer. He never defended himself or explained himself. He was just silent. He also was a spotless lamb, not only did nothing escape his lips, but there was nothing but love in his heart for those who had sent him to the cross. There was no resentment toward them, no grudges, no bitterness. Even as they were putting the nails through his hands, he was forgiving them and asking his Father to forgive them too. He was willing to suffer it in meekness for us. Wow, what an example. What an example for us to follow. I come so far short of that. Just a little poem says, he humbled himself to the manger and even to Calvary's tree. But I am so proud and unwilling his humble disciple to be. He yielded his will to the Father and chose to abide in the light. But I prefer wrestling to resting and trying by myself to do right. Lord, break me, then cleanse me and fill me. And keep me abiding in thee, that fellowship may be unbroken and thy name be hallowed in me. The way of the cross. The way down is the way up. So that was Jesus' example, and I just was thinking of some other examples, and I thought of Nebuchadnezzar. If you want to, we'll turn to Daniel there. And you know, it's in the difficult things that I believe that God wants to do deep work in our hearts and in our lives. And here in Daniel chapter 4, we have Nebuchadnezzar, and I'm just going to read this, 27, Daniel chapter 4, 27. Let's see. Okay, maybe just a little backdrop here. This is Daniel had interpreted this dream. Nebuchadnezzar had this dream and of this image. And then Daniel had interpreted it for him, and he said to the king, he said, "Wherefore, O king," on verse 27, "let my counsel be accepted unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility." And, it just seems like the king did not heed this counsel. Daniel gave him the words, gave him what he needed, told him what to do. But somehow, I don't know, did he just not connect the dots or what? Or he went on. And then we'll see here what happened. It says 28, "And all this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar at the end of 12 months. He walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon, and the king spake and said, Is not this great Babylon that I built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as an ox. And his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were long like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws." What a sight. If you'd have seen this animal-like person. I mean, I don't know. I mean, this has been something else. Seven times, and we take that to be 7 years. "And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me." So his understanding left him. "And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion. His kingdom is from generation to generation, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, What doest thou?" That's a good verse to remember on election year. "At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords saw it unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are true and his ways judgment, and all those that walk in pride he is able to abase." So Nebuchadnezzar here, he learned who God was through those years, through this that God allowed to come upon him. And what a blessing as far as we know. Maybe if I'm wrong about this, y'all welcome to be corrected, but Nebuchadnezzar ended his life in this way, instead of how he was earlier. I mean, wasn't that a blessing that God allowed that to come upon him, that he would realize that the Almighty ruleth? And and has all power, and he humbled himself. And so, Lord, help us to take things. I don't think that just because we may have difficulties that we might be walking in sin or wickedness or pride, but I do believe that God allows things to come into our lives, and his desire would be that we would draw near and humble ourselves, and whatever the case is, we would draw near to him. And just a few other examples there would be Job. Job, he was, you know, it says, you know, when all that calamity came upon Job, it says, in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Now, I mean, he had everything taken away. And even his dearest person on earth, his wife, said, curse God and die, you know. I mean, I just haven't went through anything like that there. And it says that Job retained his integrity, his uprightness towards God. He never charged God foolishly. Also, Daniel, we see how he was faithful in his prayer life. How do we know he was faithful in his prayer life? He was an upright man. He was diligent about his prayer time. He was consistent. And what happened? He got chucked right into that lion's den. And but his faithfulness, you know, he was made perfect through that. We have account of that in the Word of God because of that. His faithfulness in prayer life and his being put into that dungeon there. And we know how that all came out. Joseph, what an example of faithfulness in morality, you know, for a young man. What being faithful, you know, in a strange land and being enticed day after day. This wasn't just an accident. This wasn't just, you know, a one time. This was day after day this went on. But he was faithful. He was faithful, and he got himself out of there when he knew he needed to. But what happened? What happened to him? He got thrown right into the dungeon. And there he was for doing what was right for how many years? I desire to be like that, but it doesn't come just naturally. Peter's test also came there when Jesus had said to Peter that he would deny him three times, and it says in Mark 14:29, but Peter said unto him, Although all shall be offended, yet will not I. That's what he told the Lord. He said, very emphatically, I'm imagining with Peter to have said that, but yet the test came. The test came. And I just believe we have those. We have those as life continues for each one of us. We have tests along the way, and God allows things into our lives, and the way up is down. The way up is down. Let's go to Hebrews 11, and I believe this will be our last scripture here in closing. And just again, I guess, just a desire to be faithful in the hard things, in the good times, in the the bad times and the difficult times and the hard times of life, that we can be like here in this the faith chapter. And I'd like to just read starting in chapter 11, verse 32. And it says, "And what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and all the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed violent in fight, turned to flight the enemies, the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourging, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains, in dens, in caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect." I don't know if I understand that last verse, that they without us should not be made perfect. Y'all might have to help me on that one. But I would just like to, what I'm wanting to bring out here is faith in God, and we see how these men and were faithful. All these people were faithful. Some were delivered. Some God delivered, and they were, you know, they were escaped the edge of the sword. And then others were cut asunder, you know. And so, you know, whatever life brings, you know, the real thing for us is to be faithful. And our faith and our confidence in the Lord Jesus, and right through whether we get persecuted, killed. I mean, it's not the end. This is only the beginning of life as we continue our walk with the Lord. And no one can take that away from us. We decide to walk away from the Lord. Strong faith in God. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus showed us the way. Jesus showed us the way to walk. And so that's what I guess that's all I have here this morning. I desire to be faithful unto the end, and I believe you all do too. I believe we all desire that. And that is what we want to go for.